Oh, the boss.
This is not a surprise.
This is not a surprise. Great song, though.
You gotta wait to pay it off. You gotta wait.
Well, you wait.
We're waiting.
Be quiet.
Oh, man, we got the big prelude here. Sorry about that, boys.
It's a cold line coming up, though.
Got the face-off coming up here in a minute.
My dad's old 65 Oldsmobile rolling down I-95. Those were the days. Windows down, summertime.
That's a good one.
Bro.
Here we go. Here we go. There you go. I don't know who he sang that about, Steve. I don't know if it was about anybody in particular, but you ain't a beauty, but hey, you're right. All right. That's just a cold line right there. That's a rough one. Hey, really? I'm going to get in your car now?
Thunder Road.
Are you kidding me? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
No, it's done. It's over. It's done. We're done.
Oh, wow. That's you just right. Move on.
We didn't get to wish you a happy birthday. Yeah, we didn't get to wish you a birthday.
It's Jerry Rice's birthday today.
I saw that.
We got to focus on.
And that's National No Bra Day, I've seen here. Which is, What? No, I'm serious. It's right here.
National No Bra Day.
I'm just telling you.
I'm not wearing one.
They're telling you how to observe. I said, I'm good there.
I'm not wearing a man's ear or a bro.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're good.
No, but see, we only got to wish you happy birthday and messages, so happy birthday.
I think you guys are the best.
And now we're done with it.
We're done. We're moving on.
Okay, did you see enough in Trey Lance to say, you know what, I think that guy deserves to be the quarterback moving forward?
Well, I mean, what did I say? He's awesomely raw, right? I mean, there's stuff. I mean, he's but yet, you know, it's moving very quickly. I could always tell, quarterbacking is really about coming to a place where no matter how crazy it is, how intense, how the moment, it's how quiet your mind is. Because when your mind is quiet and you own the data and you own the moment, then your body, the full measure of you as an athlete comes out. And that's when it's really cool. I'm not saying that happens in 1 year or two, but when it happens, it's a wonderful place to get to. But until it does, you're always trying to manage your brain being overwhelmed with data, with trying to keep up, running from play to play, the pressure of it. Oh, my gosh, I'm just going to screw up again. It's like all these thoughts that cross your mind. A million thoughts come in the 3 seconds that you drop back to throw the football. Like your brain is just its own, your own enemy for a long time. So Trey's just scratching the surface. And it's just a matter, again, of the people that are with him, that are with him every day, that feel like he's going to get like significantly better game to game, then let's go. But if some guys need more time to just ingest it all and to be more productive. And I leave that to, I really do leave that to Kyle. I feel like, we all have an opinion. I what's an alternative? Now, Jimmy's coming back. He says his calf is better. I think we're just going to have to work this out. What I'd like to see, honestly, is a package, a trade package, a part of the call sheet that's Trey's, and that he's now played a game. He started a game. He's seen the speed of the game. And if he's going to be the guy that plays for 10 years, then there's going to be some hardships and some tough times, then let's start to see more and more of it in packages where and working in with Jimmy. We talked about in the preseason, that's what we thought might happen. So that's okay. That's okay too. And Jimmy is the kind of guy that feels, I think he'd be able to handle it. And let's try that. Because we're not winning the big games right now. And let's find out if there's some kind of combination that can go win some big games.
I felt like it was pretty standard stuff, like watching him, right? For a young quarterback, first start, like there was some good that you saw, okay, this guy has something. Then there was some times where the game looked like it was moving too fast, some balls that he threw too hard. And I've always told you, I feel like guys that throw the ball too hard feel like if the ball's in the air too long, something bad's going to happen. So they want to get it there as quickly as possible.
You, Tom, you're right in that way, but you're also – it's because your brain's not processing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes, and that's why guys with strong arms, that you're exactly right. I'm going to throw it extra hard because maybe something, you know, nothing bad will happen if I throw it really hard. You know what I mean? And then balls are flying over people's heads, and it's very common for a guy with a big arm to just do that because that solves, you know, what are the two things that can happen? Incomplete or completion. But what we can't have is an interception. So he figures if I throw it extra hard, the defender can't catch it.
Hey, one thing real quick I wanted to run by before I forget. I noticed it. It wasn't every pass because they didn't show it on every pass. But for a guy that throws that hard, does he need to learn how to throw a spiral?
Yes. It'll come. It'll come.
Okay. Maybe breaking guys, everyone's fingers.
Some guys don't. Their final, how the ball comes out of their last finger really depends. You know, Peyton Manning would you know, how it came out was always just a little bit off because of how his hand, the natural motion of his hand to actually get this full spiral, you know, it's like your index finger. I used to get the callus on it out, you know, kind of the thumb side of my index finger as you rip down the ball. And that's where the spiral comes from. And if you can't, some guys' hands literally can't move that way. And so you never get the full spiral. And some guys just never had that. You know, and I look, do you need a perfect spiral? You do not. In the wind, it's helpful.
Yep.
But when you throw it hard and you throw it with a little wobble, it's tough to catch.
Steve, yep. I couldn't stand the game plan. I thought it was terrible. I mean, Shanahan called for only 12 running plays that didn't involve Trey Lance. I mean,
it's a fumble overdone. I agree with you.
Why would you put your quarterback in that? I mean, I saw you were on the list, I believe. There's like five quarterbacks who have thrown 16 times in like 45 years. And Vic and Cam Newton, and I think Tebow's on there. And I thought maybe you were on there as well for one game. But why would you? They have a running back in Mitchell who looks good. They, in my opinion, they got two that look good in Sermon and Mitchell. Sermon's averaging almost 5 yards a carry or 5 yards a touch. And yet they kept running the quarterback on power runs and quarterback keepers. And we're watching him run on fourth and two out of an empty set in short yardage. He took a hit on every single one of those designed quarterback runs. I don't get the risk reward on that. I just don't.
I don't, you know, that's not replicable, right? That's not something we can keep doing. That's just a clearly an effort to get him kind of in the mix. Where what's obvious to me, Larry, is that he's not trusted.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He's young, his first game. I am not going to put him in a position. And look, when I say not trusted, people are going to overreact. I'm not. What rookie in his first start is trusted? Nobody. What I'm saying is it's a sign that I don't want to put him in a spot where, you know, I know for a fact that if I put him on the run, that's something he's going to be very comfortable with and that maybe we can get away with some things with it. I think the Cardinals just played really – I mean, they played it really well, too. I mean, it wasn't like he got these big gashing runs, which you want. From the 11th guy out of the huddle, the quarterback is running the football. You hope that you have the extra blocker and extra little deception and there's not so many – you know, I mean, tough yards. I mean, you do not want Trey Lance out there running for the tough yards. No quarterback, not even Cam Newton, nobody. Most of the yards that a quarterback gets, 80% of them should be uncontested. That's the whole point. And then the last 20%, you've got to figure out a way to get to the ground or get out of the way or not take a big hit.
Steve, how much value is there in having a quarterback like Trey Young who – can run and the pressure that puts on the defense and the time they have to spend preparing for an unconventional runner is being able to throw the ball, as we have heard you say many times, that's the most important thing as a quarterback, to operate from the pocket. But if you have deficiencies in that regard, yet you are an uber athlete and you can threaten with your legs, is that valuable enough to keep running out there game after game?
Rod, I really felt once I understood, you know, let's just say I became a sophisticated passer. Let's just give me that. When I figured that out and could still run, it was as if I had magic powers, and it's really a powerful place to be. And that's why I encourage anyone with a dual threat, anyone who can run, to do the work to become a sophisticated passer of the football, because it's exponential. the things that happen to your benefit. And now that was 20 years ago. I mean, today's game, when all those yards, I mean, you see Tom Brady running the other day, and he was joking, like, oh, I look fast. Even Tom Brady's got some yards to go get. I mean, there's just, and when I say that, I'm saying that a guy that can, a sophisticated pass, throw the football, there's 15 of them, maybe 10 of them in the league right now. If they can run, there's, because of the threat of the pass, because of what they can do and what that does to defenses, there's going to be yards, lots of yards to go get, first downs and touchdowns to get that you can go have. So to me, and everyone says the risk. Look, the risk is sitting, standing in the pocket and throwing. The risk out running when no one's around, it's more risky in the pocket. But the risk comes at the end of the run. Mm-hmm. At the moment when the you know, people say Steve Young could play early in my career. It's like, Steve Young could play running back. And I'm like, no, he can't.
Absolutely not.
he cannot line up in the eye, take the ball, and go get you 4 yards. That's not, no way. But if Steve's out and no one's around, and he can run, yes, he can run the football when no one's around. So as a quarterback, you now have to go manage the last percentage of the run. And Emmett Smith used to say, you know when the journey's over. And that's why I say to Daniel Jones last week, look, he has this, you know, they make this, I don't know, it was a terrible play. I don't know what the idea was. They blocked it wrong, whatever. So on the goal line, he goes running out there, but he feels like he has to go for the end zone. But it's flawed. It's done. So do not put yourself in a situation where that last half of a yard that you're going to get, because you're against two linebackers and a safety, you're not going to run them over. Mm-hmm. And you going and running into them and knocking yourself out, essentially, does nothing. You're not going to score. You're not going to – all you're doing is knock yourself out of the game. So the point being, people say, we don't like mobile quarterbacks because the risk. Well, that's crap, because the truth is, as long as you manage the end of the run – in a way that gets you back to the huddle and safe, you can, I think most of the time you can do, right, if you're smart, then the value of being able to run, Rod, your original question, is astronomical. I can't even tell you how important it is, as long as you've learned the job of throwing football from the pocket.
So let me ask you this. The differences between Garoppolo and Lance are pretty obvious in stark. Garoppolo is a better passer, but he doesn't threaten downfield. Running the ball, that's just not Garoppolo's thing. Moving around in the pocket, that's not his thing. Trey Lance is the opposite of all of that. Who do you think is harder for a defensive coordinator to game plan against right now? Garoppolo's style or Lance's style?
Well, Jimmy's harder because he can get through the defense and deliver footballs and kind of knife through it with the passing game. The passing game, and this is the argument I make all the time to people, and I'm sure I've done it here, why I worry now, I'd worry less about the Baltimore Ravens, because you saw last week they are becoming a little bit more sophisticated of a passing team. But if you're not going to throw the football, that's where you can make, still even today, that's the damage, the big damage you could do in the NFL. And so Jimmy has that capability, and that's where Trey needs to quickly learn that, because with his physicality and his mobility, he'll swamp anything that, and that's why he was drafted so high, right? Because if he can get there, and how fast he can get there, then he's hanging out with Josh Allen. He's hanging out with Russell Wilson. He's hanging out with Kyler Murray now. I mean, he's hanging out with the big boys, because those are the guys, Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's where those guys are, and that's where he's got to get fast, because if he can, that extra ability he has and the physicality is, you know, worth 10 times.
How different is it today? And how would you have handled it today? Because running back in the day, and I know you got to know when the journey's over, but I don't kid yourself. I remember you running over a few guys in your day too. So I don't know if you've forgotten in the last 30 years or so, but you weren't always a slide and get it out of bounds guy. You get revisionist history supreme going on here.
Tom, if you're going to see me run into a linebacker or a safety, you're going to see me in my first year or two. You will not see me run into, Gilbert Brown or.
No one wanted to run into Gilbert Brown.
But I'm just saying, nobody. I, you got very rarely. If you see me out on the run after about a year or two in the league, you're going to see me maybe not sliding, but not taking direct hits. It's finding ways to, it's like if you're a skier, you understand how to get off your feet, get to the ground and be safe, you know, and that's what I was doing. So it, actually ramming into some defensive player. I did that against the Bears one time. I did that, but it was all very early, Thomas, very early.
Wow. Got the full Thomas there. How would you have looked at today? Because you told me many years ago that you didn't truly become a quarterback until you realized other guys needed the ball and you got to run the offense and it can't be just me, that throwing the ball for 15 yards to a receiver is better than me running it for 15 yards, even though they're the same amount of yards, because it just makes the offense work. Everybody yeah. knows where you are. The offense is working. Yep. We're good. How has that changed, if at all, in today's offenses where they're a lot more like college and quarterbacks are expected to run and expected yeah. to use their athleticism, where it's not, I mean, still delivering from the pocket's a thing, but that was the only thing basically back then. Now it's like, we want you to deliver from the pocket, but we also want you to do this stuff too, because that stuff's cool.
Now remember, it was binary, right? You either called a pass play and you end up scrambling, or there's a run play that you're not – I mean, the number of run plays out of the huddle that I was carrying the football were rare,
yeah,
very rare. Where today, you know, look at Lamar Jackson the other night. He's at the RPO, so it's a 50-50 shot that Lamar is coming out of the huddle carrying the football. So the team's going to be like, we get that. Mm-hmm. So I guess my point is, when it comes out of the huddle, it feels much more part of the structure, and we can live with that. And I think that's where the game is today. If I was playing today, I would have more runs out of the huddle or the option to run. And I think that ending up with the ball in your hand wouldn't be as much of a negative. And I think that's the difference. I think because I still think if you call a pass play out of the huddle and you end up scrambling around and running with the football out of bounds for a first down, I think that dynamic is still the same. It's like, man, you better have done that only out of necessity. Because if Jerry Rice was running open or Brent Jones was running open and you're out there sprinting around trying to gain 4 or 5 yards and run out of bounds, then that's on you.
Yeah.
And that's why players watch, even linemen. My lineman, Harris Barton, would come back and say, like, hey, bro, what are you looking at? Like, you know, come on, man. And that would still be the same. That'd be the same today, you know, where – we got a pass play and somebody's, you know, and George is open and you're running around looking somewhere else. The whole team's like, bro, no, that doesn't work. And let's get it buttoned up.
Hey, let me interject real quick, because you made me think of something, because you're talking about a team saying, hey, no, we're going to do this is the way we do it. And that kind of criticism, self-awareness by you led you to the passer that you were. I mean, you had records and passer rating, Hall of Famer, got Super Bowl, all that stuff. I mean, you're one of the best ever. Would you have made that transition? Would it have been harder to make that transition for you in today's game, where that's kind of expected and never would have been okay with you doing what you did? Would you have...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Had this self-awareness to become the sophisticated passer that you were.
Tom, it's a great question, and the answer is actually very similar. It's the same, because back then there were very few places that you could go and be taught these to become a real sophisticated passer of the football. Most places, you know, 20, 30 years ago were, you know, run, third down, drop back, wait for the dig, you know, hang in there, take one in the chin, and let it rip, you know. Mm. But the West Coast changed all that, and so I got that opportunity. Trent Dilfer, friend of mine that played for many years, doing that, the previous thing I said, and then finally got to Seattle with Mike Holmgren, and the skies opened, the sun came out, and he's like, oh my gosh, this job is way better. This is so great. And so in today's game, you know, there's still you know, do they have, you know, it's, there's, well, I, if I had to just quickly say, right now, Steve, go play for an NFL team. Pick, you have your pick. I'm gonna, there's four places I'd want to go. There's 28 that I'd be like, then there's 10 more I'd like if I have to. And there's 16 I'm like, no, thank you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's I got to one of those places, luckily, where a lot of guys don't. Ask Matthew Stafford if he could be truly honest with you. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, look, I spent 10 years and I survived. But now the sun's come out and the light, and it is a beautiful thing. And so in the same, you know, there are more good places for quarterbacks today than there were, when I played.
Yeah.
And so you have a better shot at it. But there's still some crappy places to be.
Yeah.
And then you can say, oh, you know what? I'm going to be a Hall of Fame player. Oh, really? You're going to be a Hall of Fame player throwing with this team? You all right? Go knock yourself out.
Steve, I love having you on because you can talk about all the nuances of the position. We saw a lot of batted passes, right? And yes. There was four or five of them. It was the most by a Niner quarterback in a single game in like a decade. You know, pretend Trey Lance is listening and you're talking about avoiding batted down passes because people think it's about height. I mean, you were 6'2". This guy's 6'4 and change. It's not at all about height. Talk a little bit about what you learned because young quarterbacks, it's like as a rule almost, get those passes batted down at a much higher rate than you'd ever see a veteran quarterback. So it's a learned thing. Talk a little bit about what you learn as you go.
I always joke with my defensive lineman brothers that, what do you guys do? Well, I mean, when you practice, you put your hand down and you go. Like, what do you guys do in the meeting room? Like, because we meet a lot. Like, you meet for an hour and a half. What did you guys cover? Like, I joke with them. Like, I know that don't defensive lineman come front me up on the streets of Bay Area. Please don't. But I joke with them because defensive linemen is, it really is. Put your hand down and go get the quarterback, right? But what they're focused on is not your height, but your eyes. And so what I would say to Trey is you are staring stuff down because a lot of times the batted ball is because you have given them the sense that you're not – everybody's looking at the quarterback. Every corner, every linebacker, unless they're in man, is staring at you. And so the subtlety – who are the subtle guys? Drew Brees, for example. The subtlety of the shoulder movement and the head movement and the eye, like it's subtle stuff. But if you're not a very good player, Larry, you can't move your eyes don't move. You are, your brain is racing. You're like, where's George? And then you throw it, and there's the lineman going, why are you staring? I saw you staring the same way up, so I just put my hands up. and so that's what I would say, is a lot of times batted balls are about, there are times when batted balls are just bad luck. How many times you throw the ball perfect timing, right where Jerry's wide, he's, oh my gosh, it's perfect. And some guy puts his arm up out of nowhere. It's like, ooh, and the ball goes up in the air. You're like, gets intercepted. I there's how many times I want to go to the sidelines, get the PA, and go, excuse me, that ball was perfectly thrown. That ball was perfectly timed. And that, somehow put his arm up and batted it up in the air, and that's what happened. You want to tell people, like, that was ridiculous. This dude wasn't even looking. He just put his arm up and batted. Like, so there are bad, bad luck, bro. But there are, when you get a bunch of them, it's probably because you're staring stuff down. Yeah.
The idea of roving gangs of defensive linemen just stalking you around the Bay Area is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you say? I heard you on the radio, bro. We are sophisticated pass rushers.
Just menacing you at dinners and the opera and stuff like that. That's going to make me laugh.
Do you know how many calls and audibles we make at the line? Do you know the nuance?
Exactly.
Do you realize how difficult? Look, do I want to play defensive line? No. Do I even want to think about playing defensive line? No. But don't tell me that you're sitting there the hour and a half in the meeting room and you've got like an hour and a half of, stuff to cover. I mean, come on.
And Steve, and one guy will say to you, hey, sometimes I had to cover two gaps on one play. Talk about sophistication. So
I better stop or somebody will come hunt me down.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Every week, KNBR and Steve's Forever Young Foundation honor a Bay Area individual. and our group as the Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. And this week, we salute Fit Kids. They provide structured physical fitness activities to underserved youth. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary this year, and the Fit Kids organization currently impacts more than 20,000 elementary school-aged children through more than 100 sites. Physical activity at a young age is essential to children's long-term futures, their fitness, and their mental and emotional health. Yet too many children in underserved communities miss out on structured physical activity due to budget cuts, unaffordable organized youth sports programs, and just not enough spaces to play. So this week, we salute Ashley Hunter and Leslie Schott, and Fit Kids, our Forever Young Foundation Heroes of the Week. To check out all of our Forever Young Heroes of the Week, go to KMBR.com/Forever Young. Thanks again, Steve.
Yeah, you know what, Ron, the budget cuts are crushing art and, and music and physical education. And these are people just trying to fill the gap, right? Yeah. Just like, what can we do? So it's awesome. Hey, look, it's Bay Area. Let's not mess around. You either beat LA, right? It's like, you understand it.
Yes.
And you can hum it, you can speak it, but have it in your head for the next 24 hours. Anyone who's out on the street, I want to hear you either whisper it, like, beat LA. Like, I want to hear it. Just whisper to yourself. If that's embarrassing, you can speak it out loud. I want to give you the ability to just speak those two letters and a word over and over for 24 hours, all right? I don't want to mess around here.
Make it a mantra. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I like it.
I would caution people, though, don't whisper it.
Don't whisper.
On National No Bra Day. If you do that, you may get the cops called on you. I don't know. I saw that dude whispering in the corner over there. I'm not sure what it is. Dude, I was just saying, beat LA. Beat LA.
I want people walking down the street passing each other,
yes,
saying it to each other. In other words, beat LA, beat LA.
Yeah.
Beat LA back. Beat LA to you too. Beat LA.
A greeting, a salutation, a mantra, all of those things. Absolutely.
You going to be there tomorrow?
I am. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm good luck or bad luck. I can't figure it out. Let's see.
They won the game you're at, didn't they?
They did.
So they're
2-0 as the. I'm 2-0. Jerry and I are 2-0. One is the throw the ball, you know, the first pitch, and one is this strange hype thing that I just wasn't sure how to handle.
Well, I mean,
it's amazing you couldn't do that considering that you sang with Bon Jovi. I mean, you think you'd be able to handle that kind
you're a background
kind of assignment.
I had the preparatory work. I should have been much better at that. But it was like they gave you a mic and said, "Hey, could you hype up the crowd?"
Exactly.
Give it a go.
And that's how the sausage was made. I was expecting a little bit more than that. I didn't know. It was like, hey, Steve, go do this.
What threw me off is Dave Roberts walked over with such sincerity to both Jerry and I. Like, hey, it's such an honor to meet you guys. And I just met, you know, here's a guy going to the biggest. You know, and he's like, and that threw me off a little bit.
He threw you off your game.
He did.
Do I have to light? It's like, it was like the pregame of the 92 championship, and we went out to do the coin flip, and my hero, who I'd never met in my whole life, Roger Staubach, walks out with the captains of the Cowboys, and there's the hero. I'd never met him in my life, and now he's right in front of me, and I'm trying to explain to him, Roger Staubach, I am your hero, and your poster is on my wall. And I want you to know that. And Roger finally goes, bro, you got to go play. And I was like, yeah, yes,
you should have said, I got to go win.
Bro, you got to go play.
I gotta win, exactly. Yeah, just threw my mouth again. Thanks,
that's
Larry.
All right. That's what you got to do. You got to be like Trenton. You got to be like Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
We're going to take the ball, and we're going to win.
Yeah, we're going to win. Damn it.
Dave Roberts threw me off my game, my hype game.
Oh, man. I had to ask before we go, Larry said you were 6'2". Is that like a Drew Brees 6 feet type 6'2", or is that like a legit 6'2"?
Oh, now we fight.
Wow. Look at that.
Now we fight. I tell you that when I was a rookie, they gave you a piece of paper for your football cards. All the football card manufacturers needed you to fill it out. So you filled it out. And I honestly filled it out with my name, my birth date, my height, my weight, and everything else. And so for the rest of my life, what I put there was on everything, every game day program, every football card through the years, and people are like, people challenge me, and it's like, that's what I am. And if you don't like it, then come, you know, come show me.
Wow.
Try it.
There you go. Step up. Hey, step up.
The truth of the matter is, here's the truth. Because one day, I'm energized by it because I'm actually 6'1¼". And it's like I lived in this beautiful private Idaho where my whole life I was 6'2". And somehow I got in a doctor's office or something. I was with my wife and she goes, "You're 6'1¼".
I don't even know who you are.
I was like, you couldn't have ruined my life more. That just ruined my life. So then I carried that for a few years until I ran into Drew Brees, who's whatever he is, he's shorter than me.
He's six feet flat.
He's shorter than me. And then I met Russell Wilson. And I'm like, whoa.
He's 5'11".
Dude, and then I met Kyler Murray, and I'm like, bro, I'm killing it.
I'm going to post up on you.
I'm above average.
I'll come look you up in your neighborhood. I don't know. It's the mean streets. I don't know if I can get through Zuckerberg, but if I can, I'll come look you up.
There's a lot of cameras.
6'2", bro.
6'1¼". Barb had it right.
Oh, man.
That's what you get. Bear down. Barb, bear down. There you go. Steve, have a great week. Real quick, I got to ask you this because I've been asking, as Brent Jones this, and I'm just curious. I don't feel like the Niners are that far off. Like they're 2-3. It feels a lot different than 2-0, obviously. 3 losses in a row. But I just feel like I look at each game and one special teams. One's a rookie quarterback. I mean, they hung in there. They could have won. Could have won that game. One's 37 seconds that you couldn't stop. And look, you're 2-3. Yep, that's what you are.
Yep,
but I feel like they're closer. Like, I don't feel like 2-3, this season could be going the wrong way. I feel like 2-3, this team is just a couple wrench turns away from getting this thing turned around.
So in the NFL, the problem is that you've dug yourself a hole and there's anxiety about it,
mm-hmm.
and there's a fear and it comes into the system. And so all of a sudden you think you're a good team. You try to, we could have been 4-1. They're like, that's why the Falcons felt for every season. You know what I mean? Everybody feels that way. So don't feel too great about that because you're 2-3 and that's why, but I understand what you're saying. I think we're playing better defense and I think the explosiveness on offense and the ability, and that's both running and throwing. We got to get to a point where if we're going to be a team that competes for the playoffs or competes in the Super Bowl, we've got to be the guys that throw up 30, right? We got to be in the 30, 35. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to start throwing those numbers up, figure out how to put those numbers up. Cause you're not going to, you might win a game or two at 17-10 or 13. I mean, that's just, but in the end, we've got to be an offense that can put up, 4.5 touchdowns, right?
Yeah. Brett and I both said we're not completely sold, so we're buying 4-week bus passes, and if we're not sold after that, we're gonna Uber the rest of the season.
We have the guys. We have the guys. I really do believe the roster is there, and we need obviously supreme play from the quarterback spot, one way or another, which will be, obviously everyone does the same. But that's the league today more than ever is that you better have a quarterback and you better be good. Because that's where it all happens.
All right, 6'1¼". We'll talk to you next week, man.
Keep it up.
See you, Steve.
See you, Steve.
Thank you, sir. I love you.
We know what gets Steve hyped. You start talking about hype.
I'll tell you
He's
what.
He's like, I'm outside. Come see me.
Isn't it funny that people, and I won't say smaller people, but people toward like the 6 feet, they want to be taller, and then people that are real tall,
Kevin Durant.
They want to be smaller. No. The smaller want to be taller. Like, no, bro, I'm not. I always kid my boys. Like,
I'm 6'1".
What are you, 6'1½? They're like 6'3". And I go, you're like 6'1½. I'm measuring. No, we're 6'3". We're the same height as Jeffrey, my brother. And then, if you're 7 feet, you're like, oh, no.
No,
like
no.
Girls,
that's a freak.
A lot of time girls, they get to 6 feet, they want to be 5'11".
Right.
They don't want to be 6 feet.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, dude, guess what? Doesn't matter what you want. You are what you are.
Own it. I'm Steve
Young. That's just what it is.
I'm 6'1 and change, and I put 6'2 on the damn driver's license.
Oh, we love you, Steve.
That was your Steve Young show.